Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. For those of you around the world who listened to Whitney Webb's discussion yesterday, it had originated on Tuesday evening's Progressive Commentary Hour. I'm doing a part two next week. But because we're so involved in trying to see who's trying to manipulate our lives in ways that are not beneficial to us, but to them, we're looking deeper into the heavy players, such as Google and Facebook and Twitter. Who's behind this? What agendas do they have? In carrying forward that message, today you're going to be hearing my guest in just a few minutes. I'm going to go from health and healing right into a break and then to our guest. And it's someone that you probably have not heard before. But you will, and I think you're going to find it riveting. His name is Zach Voorhees, V-O-R-H-I-E-S. He's a former top Google engineer who worked in the Silicon Valley giant for office for over 8 years, and he also was one of the top people in Google's YouTube division before he discovered what he called the machine learning fairness. I was so impressed with a pre-interview that I decided to have him on for a long segment. Now, in fact, such a long segment that today I'm going to devote 45 minutes of my program to him because you're going to hear things you did not know. He ties in COVID with the deep state. He's tying in things that you have not heard about Google. What's really behind the scenes? What's going on? The control over the media, the control over Congress, why nothing changes, why they come before Congress and lie. And there's no consequence. I suggest that you call your friends that you would hope that would find this information relevant because you're not going to hear it elsewhere. In fact, I've invited him for next Tuesday's Progressive Commentary Hour for the full hour. So we have two really powerful shows and a third coming at you with Mark Crispin Miller, a full hour. Now to the latest on health and healing. As I mentioned yesterday, there's a big problem with eating meat, and I'm going to cover it right now. This is a study from two universities, Tel Aviv University and the Sorbonne in Paris. Over the years, scientists have demonstrated an association between red meat and processed meats and cancer. However, they're still looking for what drives that relationship. So the authors in this particular study, which is published, by the way, in the current British medical journal, Medicine, argue that at least part of the answer lie in the immune interreaction. Now, why is this important? Because right now, we're going back into flu season within the next few weeks, depending upon where you live. And we know that they're not counting any longer flu and influenza, pneumonia. Why not? They do it every year. Because in my opinion, they're conflating the annual flu deaths with COVID deaths. And we see that they're doing this in other places, meaning where you'd normally have, anywhere from, depending on the size of the country, I think South Korea has 33,000 cases of death from this, mainly in those who are vulnerable, who are young with a compromised immune system, and those who are older and compromised immune system. Let me add this caveat. The fact that you're older does not mean you're more susceptible to disease. That is a myth. We are susceptible as we get older, over the age of 40, by the way. Old age actually starts at the age of 27, biologically. But for the average, we're talking about 40. And again, I know people in their 70s and 80s who have no comorbidities, who do everything that they can right, exercise, stress management, proper diet, plant-based diet, positive attitude, proper thinking, and they're as healthy as a 20-year-old. But it's the vast majority of people who have not paid attention and now who have multiple comorbidities. The more that you have, the more susceptible you are, if you have COVID-19, to dying from it. So I'm working right now and should have it completed in the next 3 weeks. The first universal, meaning the whole world, preventative program in aging. I'll be sharing it with everyone as soon as it's gone through its peer review system. We have, I think, around 50 to 100 medical doctors and scientists in anti-aging medicine reviewing the papers, and then I'll share it with you. So you'll all get this. And I believe that we could reduce the risk of death from major diseases by at least 50%. I'm talking about saving at least 1 million American lives per year, minimally, if, and there's the big if people followed it. But it's up to them to follow this. In any case, getting rid of meats, all animal proteins is a very important part of it at the dietary level. In red meats, the ones that you're getting on your steak and all these advertisements, the hamburgers, the meat, the salami, the bolognese, all these. So what we have found now is that the more you're consuming animal proteins, the more susceptible you are to type 2 diabetes, obesity, cancer, hypertension, and cardiovascular disease. Red meats and processed meats have each received a fair amount of attention in this regard. So if we're able to get your immune system stronger, it means that whether it's the flu or cold or coronavirus, you're going to be less susceptible, and if you should contract them, more likely to survive and have minimal effects, young or old. Now, we know that the meat is loaded with high fat and also the nitrites, heme iron, and then some compounds that are used in the gut. And then we start taking all these antibodies. And these antibodies, which are overused in the United States, are not good either. And then the animals are fed antibodies. Why? Because they're sick. And also it allows them to gain weight. Just feeding antibiotics, they gain more weight, and they sell meat by the pound off the hoof. So it's a corrupting influence. So, and the meat promotes really heavy inflammation. And inflammation leads to cancer and dementia, diabetes, heart disease. So if you're able to give up meat in all of its forms, you're making a big positive step towards helping your immune system. Also, meat provides a lot of negative, destructive microorganisms to your intestine. We want you to flood the intestine with a trillion of the probiotics, prebiotics, the good bacteria that create the microbiome, which is instrumental in having a healthy immune system. Quite simply, the healthier the microorganisms you eat, the good bacteria, the healthier immune system. It's that simple. Meat contributes to negative factors, and those can mutate, and there's all kinds of chemical compounds in meat, and the cooking of the meat at high temperatures creates heterocyclic amines, heterocyclic, heterocyclic. And these are very strong cancer producers. Simple, okay? Next up from the University of Hawaii and the University of Southern California, quercetin. Now, you've heard me mention quercetin for 40 years. Quercetin. That's why eating apples and onions are so important. Two apples a day, phenomenal for you. Onions, terrific. Either lightly cook them, or better still, raw, sweet onions, and pour lemon juice on the onion. Gives a great taste to it. Put it in a salad. But quercetin, which is throughout nature, has been identified as one of the most beneficial flavanols in preventing and reducing the risk of pancreatic cancer. Although the overall risk was reduced among the study participants, smokers who consumed foods rich in flavonoids had significant greater risk lessened. So if you know someone that smokes and won't give it up, at least get them to take quercetin. This was published in the American Journal of Epidemiology, very important study. They also, researchers in Germany, and as well as University of Hawaii and University of Southern California, track food intake and health outcomes in 183,518 participants in the multi-ethnic cohort study for 8 years. So it's a big study, a long study, multiple study centers, and they determined that the flavanol, quercetin, has a very positive impact upon not developing pancreatic cancer, and especially in people who smoke. All right, just something more. And also, this is from St. Louis University School of Medicine. Spearmint. Yeah, spearmint. You can grow spearmint, by the way. Easy to grow. Peppermint's easy to grow. Basil's easy to grow. I like to grow lemon basil, and it gives a salad a much more interesting flavor, and even sautéing it, lightly sautéing it, when you're making a nice sauce. So here's what it does. It improves memory, improves concentration, and improves brain function. So that's good. So have yourself some spearmint. Get some spearmint tea. That's a good replacement for caffeinated tea. All right? Something simple, something easy, rich in antioxidants, been around a long time. Most people don't use it. Oh, and by the way, from the Quebec Research Center, publishing an article in the highly respected Annals of Pharmacotherapy, when you take vitamin C and vitamin E, it decreases the risk of cognitive impairment and dementia. Very good study. It's part of the Canadian Study of Health and Aging. And they track people for a long period of time, 5,269 people. And those who took vitamin C the way you and I would take it, and vitamin E, you're protecting your brain. And that's a big plus. That's it on health and nutrition. I'm Gary Null. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. In just a moment, we're going to go to my guest for about a 45-minute interview. However, real quick, I just want to let you know that I've invented a new product, and this is part of the support for this important radio station, and it's called Green Apple and Lemon Stuff. It's a delicious tasting powder. People must think it's, oh, maybe that's for the summer. No, this is every day of the year. If I tell you to go and Google green apples and look at all the scientific studies, I have a list of all the peer-reviewed studies of what green apple does and lemons do. It's about 30 pages long. So I don't make any claims. I won't make any claims. I'll just simply say that there's a reason why for the last 40 years I've been telling you every day to have green apples and lemon. Now, it is a hassle sometimes for some people who don't have juicers or don't go out to get green apples, or maybe green apples are not in season, especially Granny Smith's and the most powerful of them. So it just makes it a big, convenient way. Also, you can travel with this. So no matter where you're going, even go to work, you just put some scoops in a little zip bag, take it with you. But make sure every day you start your day. Now, I won't tell you what it does in the body, but for those of you who have been using green apple and lemon, you know what it does. You know what it does. Well, I'll stop there, okay? It does something very important that none of the other things that I've ever made can do. This does it outstandingly so. So green apple and lemon stuff. It's delicious tasting. It's got the right fiber. It comes from the green apple juices. It's got the right lemons, a little stevia. Now, here's what I'm going to do to help a lot of people learn how to shop healthily and cook to make dishes delicious and nutritious. I'm giving you a video, a documentary called Shopping and Cooking Healthy. And I'm outside showing you in a regular supermarket how to find healthy foods and a health food store how to find healthy foods, then what to do with them when you get them home. So it's a lot of good information, especially for those who have been spending time at home, can't go out to restaurants. Why not make your food delicious, nutritious? The whole package is $104.94. You are only paying $49.49. You're saving over about 55%. So under $50 to you. And here's what you do to get your package. It'll be sent out today. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Get your lemon and green apples stuff. You're getting green apples and lemon every morning. You take it first thing you do before anything else, before exercising, anything else. Green apple and lemon stuff. It's only $49.49, and it'll be sent out today. Call 877-627-5065, or those of you who order directly from Neil in our vitamin closet in the office, you can call him at 646-926-5430, 646-926-5430. Back in a moment with our guest. One individual who is shining a really bright light on Google, Facebook, Twitter, and other major social platforms is a former employee at Google, an engineer, for 8 years, and he spent a lot of his time in Google's YouTube division before he discovered Google's artificial intelligence program known as Machine Learning Fairness. After investigating this program through internal Google documents in his possession, he turned whistleblower and delivered 950 pages of company documents to the Department of Justice and released the same amount to the public. He's now suing Google. But today we wanted to ask Zach Voorhees, V-O-R-H-I-E-S, that's his name, about issues involving Google and Facebook, and because it's certainly within their means to influence the election by means of their technology to undermine, conceal, or ban certain news and opinions from going viral. For example, many small news channels have started on YouTube just within the past year or two, and already many are being systematically banned on a regular basis. Also, Facebook has stated that if you come out with any opinion that challenges the official version of the World Health Organization on vaccine safety and efficacy and on coronavirus, and there are lots of legitimate questions and challenges by scientists and physicians on that, on how it's treated and how we should be putting emphasis on prevention and then helping people who have comorbidities, who are the ones most susceptible, and getting society back to normal, you'll be banned. Not only banned, deplatformed, you'll be shamed, you'll be attacked. And suddenly out of the woodwork come all these sock puppets and others who, for people with outstanding reputations, never controversy, now they're shamed. For example, Mark Kristen Miller over at New York University, a tenured professor, he teaches a course on propaganda, a very popular course. And when he suggested that maybe the science isn't 100% in favoring masks, that there are science that show that viruses, particularly the COVID viruses, can penetrate masks, and the science supports that. Now, that's not to suggest a person shouldn't use a mask, but it's to say that if people think that any mask they wear is going to protect them from the COVID virus, and then they're adhering to the social norms, they don't have the full picture. And therefore, he wanted to present a more balanced and scientifically accurate. There are studies showing it doesn't work, and studies showing it does, but not to the coronavirus, but it does from large water molecules that can come out of your mouth up to a half a million with a sneeze or cough, and how far they go in the air and how long they last on surfaces, et cetera. So there's reasons to be concerned that we're not being overly propagandized. Yet he was attacked, and now they're going after his job. The MD, PhD, one of America's leading epidemiologists at Yale University, who's published over 300 articles in peer-reviewed journals, and he said that the hydroxychloroquine in combination with zinc and zithromycin was extremely effective, in fact, very safe. Babies could be given it. And there are thousands of cases reported by doctors around the United States and the world recurrently of it at low doses, 200, 400 milligrams a day, can be used prophylactically, but also if you get it in the first 7 days, it can help stop the virus. And he was attacked. Oh, my goodness. Everything on the internet now is attacking him. Now, mind you, we went back and looked into his 30-year career. He never had a single controversy. He sits on the editorial board of multiple peer-reviewed scientific journals. He's the top epidemiologist at Yale and one of the top leading five in the United States. So all these people with impeccable backgrounds in science and medicine, they're all being trashed, all of them, thousands of them. And so they're fighting back. The latest petition has over 50,000 scientists and physicians signing it, saying that we should stop the lockdowns. They're not working. They're contributing and worse than the virus itself. They're not saying the virus won't kill you, and they're not saying it's not real. They're saying our response is wrong. And now when you look at the actual statistics, it's less than the actual, or about the same as a bad flu season. Well, we don't lock down society and destroy people's lives because of that. So it's overreacting. But guiding all this is not allowing honest scientists and physicians or journalists to have a story. They ban them and attack them. So we're going to get into this. And Zach, welcome to our program.
I'm going to
hit you with a few things. And first up is, I have never supported Donald Trump. I've made my feelings about Donald Trump clear on multiple occasions. And yet, as much as I dislike Donald Trump and what he stands for, I dislike coups even more, and especially those who pretend to want to help the American public and who've done no such thing in the last 40 years, the Democratic Party. And it seems that the Democratic representative for California, Adam Schiff, has had an enormous role in persuading Silicon Valley companies to engage in illegal censorship. He did this for having voices opposing vaccine silence. Can you speak about Schiff's role, and is there any clear evidence of conflicts of interest between Schiff and these companies? And also, this internet censoring seems to be driven more by Democrats than Republicans and conservatives, yet we should try to avoid seeing this simply as a war between political parties, because I see both parties as being corrupt and not able to deal with the issues of the day. One final thing. 2 years ago, I was invited by Bonnie Faulkner, one of Pacifica Broadcasting's outstanding journalists, to come on the air at KPFA in Berkeley right before the vote to mandate vaccines. And I had done enormous amount of research, over 15,000 hours of research, writing over 50 articles on the lack of true science and efficacy in vaccines. I've done 4 multi-award winning documentaries, including The Silent Epidemic and Autism Made in USA, Vaccine Nation, and Deadly Deception, the latest one. So anyhow, I came as an authority in the field, and I've testified under oath on vaccine safety and efficacy. So I was going to lay out the argument that for people know what these vaccines have done, are doing, before you say, yeah, we want mandatory vaccines, because then you're putting your child at risk and yourself. Well, Pacifica station out there banned us, censored us. So-called free speech radio, forget that at Pacifica, we were not allowed to have free speech. But later, I was able to find that every single person who voted for mandatory vaccines had a financial gift coming to them and their campaigns from the pharmaceutical companies who were making the actual vaccines. Now, to me, that is a clear evidence of pay-to-play and should be not just unethical but illegal. Nothing happened. So now, for the last 3.5 years, it was Adam Schiff, as head of the Intelligence Committee, who said repeatedly, daily, as did all the minions around Schiff, Trump was influenced by Russia and Putin really controlled the election, et cetera, et cetera. But under oath, in secret, in his own chambers, people said just the opposite. Now, we would never have known that they were lying until that information was released about 5 months ago. So on CNN, Russia, 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 collusion, collusion, collusion. But 4 investigations show there wasn't any proof of that. But then his own statements, which were made public, they're those same people, talking heads, were lying, and Schiff was the head of it all. That said, could you now tell us what we don't know about Adam Schiff and using the media platforms to spread their disinformation and fake news campaign, and not allowing Glenn Greenwald and Chris Hedges, Abby Martin, and Glenn Ford, and outstanding journalist Jeremy Scahill, to present their information, and Matt Taibbi, who found that they were wrong, that Adam Schiff and his group were wrong, and CNN and MSNBC were wrong, and then they didn't allow any of those people who had once been darlings of the left, because they're all liberal, didn't allow them back on the air. Your thoughts on this, please.
Well, this is the problem that I have with authoritative content, is that if you look at the people that have the authoritative opinions, they've been the most wrong and the most damaging to our country over history. Wasn't it the New York Times that got us into the Vietnam War? Wasn't all these newspapers that lied to us about the Iraq War and to get us in there? And then at the end, they're like, oh, well, it turns out that we weren't right. We made a mistake. Oh, I'm sorry that you, you know, spilled blood and treasure into overthrowing a country that ended up with a lot of people dead. And really, it's these institutional fake news organizations like the New York Times, like ABC, like NBC, like, you know, MSNBC, that have been lying to the American public and are the least trustworthy. If you look at Clinton, and I mean Bill Clinton, there is we all remember the Monica Lewinsky impeachment trial, and it turned out that Clinton was not impeached for Monica Lewinsky, but he was impeached for something that pretty much escaped the public attention, which was called Chinagate. And the background of this story that I became aware of this year was that Chinagate was actually the real story, and the media, you know, propaganda was so strong that they misdirected the entire American public to believing that it was about Clinton's, you know, sexual deviancy with a White House intern, and it focused on this. And then by the time everyone was fatigued over the impeachment sham, at the end they got him for the real thing, which was selling out America for kickbacks from the Chinese Communist Party. This is how modern propaganda works. You know, bringing that into the digital realm is something that Adam Schiff has been trying to do. And what's really bothersome is that it's Adam Schiff that's driving a lot of the censorship that's happening with YouTube. It's Adam Schiff who wrote to YouTube saying we need to do something about this vaccine, you know, content and these, you know, like, and this vaccine content is like mothers with, you know, three autistic children that all took, you know, vaccines, and then they became autistic. And so we need to kick this mother off YouTube because it's spreading quote unquote misinformation that is degrading the public trust in this, you know, vaccine thing. Now, I believe, as a personal story, I believe that I am vaccine injured. And the reason why I say that is because for three decades, I've had debilitating migraines that were getting so bad that I was taking 16 Advil a day, and about 8 Tylenol and about 4 aspirin together as a cocktail in order to get rid of this migraine that was essentially constant throughout my life in the last couple of years. It wasn't until I tried a keto diet and went very strict with my diet that I noticed that for the first time in a year, I had no migraine for the 3 days that I was skipping out on all the bread. By doing a gradual reintroduction of certain foods, I found out that I actually had a severe allergic reaction to gluten and whatever the heck is in corn. And if I eat even soy sauce, which contains a little bit of gluten, then I will get a reaction over the next 48 hours that, you know, floors me in a bed. And I can't get to sleep unless I take super hot showers that open up the blood vessels in my brain. And since learning about this, I've been able to actually get, for the first time, relief from my migraines, like a complete remission and all symptoms, as long as I stick to a very natural diet without any processed food. And looking back, I realized, I'm like, well, why is my body having such a, you know, incredible reaction to this gluten thing? And this brought me into the world of vaccines and realizing that the way vaccines work is they reprogram your immune system so that it detects a new allergen, a new antigen, as a foreign substance that the body needs to make antibodies for. And so the hope is that you inject this antigen with an adjuvant. The adjuvant is like a little Uber vehicle that takes the antigen and brings it to the immune system and presents it, and then the immune system freaks out and then creates an antibody, and then now you've got, you know, a either a lifelong or, you know, an antibodies for a few years. Now, if you're lucky, this antibody production is only going to go 4 the antigen that is in the vaccine. If you're unlucky, what's going to happen is that some other antigen that's floating around your system that's giving subacute inflammation will be picked up, and then you'll get an antibody production for that. So it turns out that gluten is one of these subclinical inflammation triggers. Like, you get it, your body doesn't like it. It's an anti-nutrient that the plant produces to make the stomach lining of the bugs that are trying to eat it explode. And so when you eat it in your body normally is able to produce it, or digest it, break it down. But it causes like leaky gut syndrome and some other things as it kind of like tears down your stomach lining. And this happens for anybody that eats it, like, and even cows too. Like, if you feed a cow corn, which is, whatever's in corn is similar to gluten, what you'll notice is that they have a really bad situation with their digestive tract. And so what happens is that if you get this vaccine, which has an adjuvant in it, if you're unlucky, then it's going to attach onto some of these gluten molecules, and it's going to present that to the lymphatic system. And then your body is going to be like, oh, this is the thing that's causing the inflammation. This is the thing that I need to make an antibody for. Now, boom, for the rest of your life, you have antibodies for gluten. And if you eat gluten and it gets into your blood, your digestive tract, then your body starts having a little mini cytokine storm and starts going crazy and starts doing and this is what happens to me. And so if I sit down and I eat popcorn at a theater, within 2 hours, my head will start sweating, which is the prodromal effects that precedes my migraine. And then I won't be able to sleep for the next 6 hours because I will have pain that's so bad that I literally want to kill myself. And I can't put it any other way. It's also weird in that it gives me a depressive episode when I'm in it. And it basically makes me like want to end my life. And I thought that I might end up ending my life because this pain was so ever present. And part of that was that I was eating really delicious food at YouTube at the time, and I didn't realize that the gluten was this trigger. And so for me, this fight against vaccine damage is really real. I cannot go and eat normal food with people anymore because most of the food is loaded with this anti-nutrient that I'm horribly allergic to. And so when I started to wake up to this fact, and I was like, wow, you know, all these people are getting – you know, an immune response. Like, you look at autism, it's an immune response. The brain is being attacked by the body's immune system. You know, you look at rheumatoid arthritis, well, it's the joints being attacked by the immune system. And you can just pretty much look at any sort of disease, and the commonality of it is that for some reason the body is attacking the tissue. And so where are all these diseases coming from? Well, modern science doesn't know. It's like we can launch a Tesla into orbit around the Earth, but all these immune systems totally escaping the realm of science. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. And 2019, I didn't buy that. And as it started to come through, I started to realize that the commonality for all these diseases is that there was it was likely traced back to a vaccination program. And, you know, thank God, wonderful individual by the name of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. existed, and he created the Children's Health Defense Fund. And what he started doing is he started doing these Freedom of Information Acts and digging these studies that the CDC had done on their own but had buried, getting them out there. And the CDC started, and you can see these like 43 hidden studies that were exposed, and they're posted at the Children's Health Defense Fund. And what you see is that all these different vaccines that are being used cause a whole bunch of different problems. And what's even more disgusting is that the executives of these companies knew that these vaccines were causing problems in the 90s. And the reason why we know that is because they all got together in an emergency meeting at a retreat on a place called Simpson Island. And for some reason, they took a transcript, a recording of their conversation, and they went, oh my God, these vaccines that we're doing are causing all these autoimmune epidemics. What are we going to do? And they had the choice of, well, they can come clean and tell the American public that this vaccination program was harming them, and then, you know, dealing with the ramifications, or engage in the cover-up. Well, they decided to do the latter. They were going to engage in a cover-up. And what we're dealing with right now is essentially the largest medical scandal in the history of humankind. Forget smoking. Forget margarine. The vaccination program that we have is making us the sickest individuals ever. And instead of coming clean about this, the pharmaceutical industry has decided that they're going to censor and ban and prevent people from talking about this. And if you think that vaccines cause problems, then, you know, you could be labeled as, you know, a crazy person. And I see this in some of the content creators that I watch about psychology, and they're trying to push for, you know, vaccine hesitancy as a mental disease, as if connecting dots now is something that, you know, you should be put in the crazy house and have a straitjacket put around you. Like, this is the kind of stuff that was done in the Soviet Union for people that thought that the government was bad and actually killing a bunch of people, which it was. And this is kind of the dangerous thing that we're getting, where acknowledgement of the truth can put you in the crazy house. And so, you know, what's been happening is that you have Adam Schiff, who's a compromised deep state asset. He's going around and he's trying to push for, you know, the censorship, and the censorship's happening on YouTube. The censorship's happening on Twitter. The censorship's happening on Facebook. If you've got a Facebook group that's sharing stories about this autism epidemic, your Facebook's going to go down. Maybe it's your group that's deleted, or maybe it's your entire account that's being deleted. And we're starting to see the latter more and more and more as this is all breaking out. And so the question is, well, why do the pharmaceuticals industry care so much about the vaccine? Is it just because they're trying to engage in a cover-up? Now, boom, 2019 happens, and this COVID pandemic goes widespread. And now they're saying that we're going to be in this lockdown, totalitarian martial law state until a vaccine is produced. You know, and then they're like, well, we're going to have a vaccine in the summer, and then we're going to have a vaccine in the fall. And now it's looking like we're not going to have a vaccine until the winter. And what's really interesting is that I remember when this thing first broke out, there was a technology company that claimed that they could produce a vaccine in a matter of 48 hours and that they had done it. It was a proven technology. But instead of this being accepted and this, you know, because you would think that you would, if this is true and this is really the solution, you would have a Manhattan style project that could accelerate this thing, so that we could get a vaccine turned around, and then those that wanted to take it could take it, and you could, you know, achieve herd immunity a lot quicker. But instead, we haven't gotten this yet. The promise of a vaccine has still been dangled in front of us like a carrot, saying, well, we're going to be locked down until we have a vaccine. And now what's happening is we're creating this situation where the population is turning on itself, because the people that see the truth of vaccines and realize and have investigated the fraud and all the damage that this thing has done are now being ostracized by members of their own family, by their friend groups. Why? Because it's now being beaten into the public that this vaccine is necessary for life to return to normal. And this is such a dangerous precedent that's being put. And what's also crazy now is that this new fourth generation vaccine that's being proposed is a new type of vaccine, which instead of just giving you, you know, virus DNA and an adjuvant to create an immune response, it's actually using an adenovirus that has its payload embedded inside of it, and then it goes into your body and then injects this payload directly into the cells in order for your body to produce, I don't know, an antigen. I'm not entirely clear why they want to do this with this fourth generation vaccine, but it's clear that this is what they want to do. And so this new vaccine, you know, you would think that you'd want to have a lot of testing that would be applied so we make sure that it's safe. But instead of that safety testing, what they've opted to do is grant blanket immunity to all of these vaccine companies so that whatever happens, you don't get, you can't sue them. And what have we seen with a lot of these trials is this, like, of these different vaccines? You're seeing up to 70% of the people getting a very life-altering immune response in response to this vaccine. that's a horrible condition. And 70% seems almost like a number that wouldn't be real. But for whatever reason, this is what's going on with this vaccine. And it's something that we should resist at all costs. But unfortunately, it's no longer a left versus right issue. It's literally an issue between those that are susceptible to this globalist mainstream media propaganda and those that see it for the lies that it is. And so, you know, adding to this is the problem that anyone that's trying to propagate information that shows the truth about this vaccination program is now liable to be completely eliminated from the internet. And, you know, keep in mind that there's websites that take your Facebook ID as a way of logging into their system. And if Facebook says, hey, we ban you, then your personal identification that's associated with that Facebook to log into websites goes down with it. And so what we see right now is this unveiling of a Chinese-style social credit system to each one of us, such that once, you know, you're allowed to use these internet services, but if you say anything that they don't like, even if it's not on their service, they're now writing into the terms of service that they can cancel you. And this is what's happening with, you know, YouTube. You don't even have to say anything bad on YouTube. If they see you say something on another video platform, then they can say that you yourself are a problematic individual that's brand unsafe. And as a result of what you said on other people's platforms, they can cancel you. Now, we've been through a civil rights era. We've said, well, you can't judge someone based on the content of their skin color. But for some reason, and I've looked through this, and it's this incredible loophole that you can ban someone for the content that's in their head. So they don't agree with the mainstream media on the authoritativeness of this COVID virus or whether vaccines are safe, then as a result, you can be deemed an inappropriate person and be liable to be banned off of social media. And in the future, it's already happening. In fact, you can be banned from your payment processors. Like this network of people that I'm helping sue Google at punchgoogle.com, they're finding that they can't get PayPal's. They're finding that they can't get Stripe's, the Stripe accounts to process credit cards. All these people are being banned from being able to use a plethora and a plurality of different services on the internet. And really what they are is, we may think that, well, they're fringe because they do this content. That doesn't really apply to me. But my response to that is, these are the canaries in the coal mines. They're showing us that there's a very deep problem. And if we look at other countries like China that's rolled this out, originally it was the few individuals that this was tested on first, and then it's been rolled out to everyone in the country. And what do they have in China? Well, if you say something bad about the government online, then your social credit score goes down. And if it goes down too low, then you don't get to ride the train. You don't get to fly on an airplane. You don't get to have a job. And not only does your score goes down, but the score of your friends, your family, they all go down, which creates this social shaming system. And this is really the next step here in the United States. If we don't turn this around, we're going to get the Chinification of our individual status. We're going to have a social credit system. And as a result, if we say the wrong thing online, despite having the freedom of speech, this Chinese-style social credit system will block us from access from the economy.
That's serious. And they're doing it. Now, you, being at Google, you had an opportunity to see a lot going on. But Google's protected, as are Wikipedia and Facebook, because of Section 230. That allows them to not be sued, but then we're finding that they have violated the terms. And now there is a bipartisan effort to deal with this. And by the way, it was Bill Clinton's Communication Decency Act which did this. Now there's a Senator Hawley, H-A-W-L-E-Y, from Missouri, who has a bill in the Senate to either amend or repeal it that seems to have bipartisan support. And I think that's very important that we strip these. And then you look at Wikipedia. My final question deals with Wikipedia. It continues to expand, and it is the enforcer, the punisher, destroyer of reputations, the libeling of people with impunity, because no one that they libel that I have met, including Robert Kennedy Jr., none of the people that they have attacked, whose reputation they've destroyed, like Deepak Chopra or Rupert Sheldrake, Cheryl Atkinson, none of these people were able to ever amend or change to accurate a description on their Wikipedia page. So they don't abide by their own rules. So the question is this. Google will send you to Wikipedia no matter what question you ask on health, and all the information on health, from our perspective, in my opinion, is biased and a danger. All the good information from peer-reviewed literature that we support, none of that is supported. They're pro-vaccines, they're pro-GMOs, and all these other misstatements. So by your estimates, Google has donated at least $7 million to Wikipedia. What can you share about Wikipedia's relationship with Google now? And now that it is Google that is supposed to also determine what is real and what is fake, when nothing that I can say personally about Wikipedia shows that it's anything but fake because of the information that it gives and the lack of authoritative voices and the lack of scholarship that a real encyclopedia like Britannica has, where you know the instructor or the professor, their background, the curricula vitae, and they're almost always an expert in that field. With Wikipedia, anonymous. Your thoughts, please.
Yeah, the anonymous is a very big problem on Wikipedia, because the only people that are logged in are logged by their IP address. And so, you know, before you figure out who's writing about you, you've got to unmask them. And that's just a giant problem in itself. How do you de-anonymize this IP address and figure out who the person is, especially if that IP address is being shared on a time basis? You know, at a university, for example, they have dynamic IPs. So a person will use an IP one day and then they'll use a different IP another day. And so when you get an IP address, it's not only the IP address, but also the day that it was used. And trying to figure out who used that is, a lot of cases, absolutely impossible. Like, it's just not a problem that you can solve. And this is a really big problem with Wikipedia, because good luck trying to find redress if you're a person being slandered by one of its anonymous authors. Now, you know, my high school teacher told me never to use Wikipedia as a source, that it's biased and it's poisoned and it's vandalized. Yet Google has decided that they're going to use Wikipedia in order to PageRank the entire internet. This is not a super secret thing that they have. This is something that they've stated out in the open. It's public. It's their search. It's their page ranking guide for SEO. And what they say in this is that they assign a page rank score called an EAT score, which stands for expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness score. And Wikipedia is clearly in the instructions for the page ranker to use as a source to figure out what the score, this PageRank score, is going to be for a website or a person or a topic. And that's fed into its giant search engine algorithms that are then used to rank results back and forth. And so if you're not part of this authoritative group that Wikipedia praises, then your website's going to go to the bottom of the search rankings. And this is really a systemic threat for, you know, the United States. And the reason why I say it's a systemic threat is it's not just something that is a problem with Google. It's something that's also a problem with one of Elon Musk's companies called OpenAI and their GPT-3 project. This GPT-3 project is the Star Trek computer of AI systems. And it was just released 3 months ago in an OpenAI that was time limited. People were able to access it and talk with this AI, and it was absolutely the most mind-blowing thing. I saw someone doing a YouTube video talking to this GPT-3 system, and as far as I can tell, it's everything any movie has ever promised that this AI system could be. It's really that intelligent and smart and it gives the right answer pretty much every single time. It can reason, it can generate code, which I believe is one of the secret Turing tests that should be defined, is whether something can generate code from English statements. This is the thing that can, in fact, you can generate websites. You can say, I want a website with a button that has this label on it and a circle and this thing, and then it will go and it will generate a website and encode the HTML itself in order to generate this website. And people have created demos. Microsoft came through and saw this and then immediately signed an exclusive license for this technology. Now they're the only sole user of GPT-3 and this godlike AI system that's out there. And what did they train this GPT-3 system? Well, they trained it on Wikipedia. And that's a really big problem, because what it's been baked into is all of the vandalisms, all the poisonings, all the bias towards the globalists is now encoded in the most advanced AI system the world has ever seen. The ramifications of this are scary. Like, I watched this video about this guy interacting with this GPT-3 AI, and I was absolutely terrified, because I realized that this was an intelligence that I had never heard or seen before. It seemed to be self-aware, and the idea that they would use Wikipedia to program this thing is a crime against humanity. It really is. And, you know, we have to fix Google, but a bigger problem that we're not really talking about much yet in the media is, what are we going to do about this Wikipedia problem? And this isn't something that, you know, is a conservative issue. The guy who created Wikipedia, Larry Summers, I believe his name is, he's come out and he is saying that Wikipedia is gone rogue. It's been infiltrated. It's been hijacked by bad actors, and it's being turned against the United States. And now his goal in life is to defeat Wikipedia by creating a truly neutral platform, an information source that can't be co-opted like Wikipedia has been. And this is a real big problem, because if Wikipedia serves as your source of truth, then anything that is based upon this is going to be skewed. And when I warn people about what will happen if these globalist technocrats take control of society and unleash this, you know, AI social credit system, you're going to be managed by an AI that gets its source of information from what Wikipedia has to say about you. How scary is that?
Very. One quick last question. All of this is predicated upon someone in power knowing what they're doing and using the power that Google gives them to manifest this. Could you tell us anything about what you found about the founders of Google and why we should be very concerned about what this monster they've created?
You know what's really ironic about this is the fact that the people that created Google ran away from the totalitarianism of the Soviet Union, Sergey Brin and Larry Page. And, you know, to a lesser extent, Eric Schmidt, who sees as his mentor Henry Kissinger. And these are all people that escaped out of the, you know, Eastern European totalitarian system. They came to the United States. And using the freedom and prosperity that is endemic in this country, they created one of the most powerful and useful services the world has ever seen. How ironic now that they've created this golem, and this golem is now running amok, censoring mothers of vaccine-injured children, censoring people because the globalist media doesn't like them because they represent a threat to their advertising and business interests. This is the thing that they've created, from people that should have known better, from people that do know better, from people that ran away from the very system that they've created here in the United States. And so if, you know, Larry Page or Sergey Brin or Eric Schmidt are listening right now, shame on you for what you have done to this country. We are now in an election crisis because of what Google has done to this country and the censorship that it has brought. When you guys built Google, you promised us you would do no evil. You promised us that your system was going to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. How can you say that? How can you say that you're making information universally accessible when you're deleting people because they're saying that vitamin C can be used to treat a disease? How can you ban? How can you say that you guys are doing good and live with yourselves with your conscience when your system is deleting mothers with vaccine-injured children? It is quite appalling that I myself participated in this system because I was an idealist. I was a leftist. I was a liberal. I believed in all these beautiful lies. I got suckered into this company, and I helped participate in building of this system. I, in order to be right with God, have to do everything in my power to expose this criminal operation and bring it down. And that's the reason why I'm doing everything that I possibly can to expose Google and restore the First Amendment for the American public.
Very powerful, Zach. The company certainly has the means to destroy people's reputations if it wishes. In this regard, Wikipedia is one venue for attacking individuals directly with impunity in ways that negatively impact their lives and even livelihood. And unfortunately, unless people understand your message and support the causes, including the current lawsuit that you have against Google, and support also the bipartisan efforts that are going on right now with Senator Hawley, H-A-W-L-E-Y, from Missouri, to repeal the Section 230 from Clinton's Communications Decency Act, I do not see this behemoth lessening but only increasing in its power, and that is a danger to all of us. Thank you very much for being there, and how can people reach you or share their concerns or support you?
People can reach out to me on my Twitter account. It's up for now. Big Tech will probably delete it, but I'm there fighting every day. They can visit me at twitter.com/perpetualmaniac. If they want to see my disclosures against Google, they can do so by visiting my website. That's www.zachvorhees.com, Z-A-C-H-V-O-R-H-I-E-S. That's a V, not a B. Or they can support me at our lawsuit at punchgoogle.com. That's all one word, punchgoogle.com.
Okay. Thank you very much, Zach Voorhees, V-O-R-H-I-E-S. Mind you, former Google engineer for 8 years. Now, we're going to continue this conversation for a full hour, and we're going to get into how they influenced the 2016 election, influenced this election, and all the different groups they have formed off of this, off these platforms that are controlling the news. As you heard, now Google is sending you directly to Wikipedia to get what are facts versus what is myth, and yet everything that they say about health is a myth on Google. So it's just imagine the disinformation when you have a half a billion people a week using Google search engine, and anyone who claims otherwise, you're completely dismissed. So we're having Whitney Webb back, and we're having him back for an hour next week. Final mention that we put a lot into our PRN newsletter every week. And if you'd like a free copy, there's no charge for it. Just sign up to be on the PRN newsletter. Just go to prnstudio@gmail.com, prnstudio@gmail.com. Also, just a cute little a photograph. I get all kinds of animals over the decades, from herds of buffalo and some of the exotics, real exotics, antelopes of all types, oryx, adex, nilgai, impalas, all types, zebras of all types. But then a little one showed up. This is the newest addition to the Animal Sanctuary, where I'm broadcasting from. I thought you'd find it cute. Just go to prn.fm and it'll be there. And also, next week, I'm going to go over the results of our recent two-week anti-aging study. The people have been home for 14 days in quarantine, and they're all healthy, not a single problem. We took everyone's temperature every day. Everyone wore masks, N95s, so social distance, was outside most of the time where they didn't need the masks, and exercising and being near nature, but some phenomenal results, phenomenal. And they're still in it for another six weeks, and then we'll have the final results. The idea was, can we get in 2 weeks on campus what we got in 2 months? I believe that the results will show that this is going to work. Have a nice day, everyone.